And we'll read this in Jesus' name. That's why I was so confused too. Good deal. Well, there you go. And we're going to read this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and of God of all comfort, who comforts us in all affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. With comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So, as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so that through Christ we share abundantly in his comfort also. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that is before us. We ask that you would continue to bless us and strengthen us in and through this word, that you would sanctify us in your word, because we know your word is truth. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. That's pretty good. I came up with this plan of how to do the service, and I jumped ahead and sang the song too fast. So right now, we were before the service, we were supposed to sing Amazing Grace, but well, we did that earlier. When I started thinking about what we were going through and how we deal with the issues around us, the one thing that kept running through my mind as I opened with is, how many people are scared? And this week, I went and was heading into town, and I was thinking about my secretary, who's done so much for this congregation. It's just amazing. And so I felt that I should stop and get her something for her birthday. She turned 49 again, and so I wanted to get her something. So I remember last week I had stopped in this little flower shop because my wife had started a new job. And my wife told me that, you know, we're both on budgets, we're not going to do anything, but I didn't listen to her, and I got her flowers, and I had them shipped to her new job. And this lady struck me because she seemed very sincere. So I said, well, I'm going to stop there and get our secretary from the church. I'm going to get her some flowers for her birthday. Little did I know that it was going to be a blessing for so many people. I walked into the shop, and the lady was there, and she was in the back, and I said, hey, how are you? And she kind of gave me a humdrum. And I'm not making fun of her. She was sincerely, like, struggling. And I asked her, I said, well, what's the matter? And she started saying, well, you know, everything that's going on and this and that. And it was almost more or less, I'm condensing it, who's going to buy flowers? I said, well, I am. And so, needless to say, after we talked for a little while, we both enjoyed the conversation, I hope, but she was actually moved to where I saw that she was actually crying. And when I left, she said, thank you for encouraging me. Thank you for bringing hope. There's a lot of people that are scared. And if you read some of the message that we put out on Facebook, we're trying to encourage people each and every day, and just with a message, just to bring encouragement. It's not a long message. It's something you can read at a couple sips of coffee. But we don't realize the people around us that are hurting, that are afraid, that don't know what's going on. You hear the rumors of what, you know, you should be doing or shouldn't be doing. Even I personally still don't know what the rule is for church. I know that they say, well, you know, you shouldn't have 250, more than 250. We just met that the other day with a funeral, or last week, or beginning of the week, I don't know, Monday. Then I heard it was 50. Now I hear the president has recommended 10. And so you turn around and you look at all these things and you say, well, why are people being agitated? You know, we may come across as silly, we may come across as agitated, we may come across as more quiet. It's because, in all honesty, we don't know how to deal with a lot of the issues. People are scared, people are hurting, and we need to be patient with one another in these tough times. Really, we do. We have a tendency to see someone before us and we forget to listen to why they're saying what they're saying. So when we encounter someone, we don't need to be gauging them according to some of the words. Maybe more or less find out why they're saying it, what's going on in their life. And I don't know how it is for you. Whether you're sitting at home with your cup of coffee enjoying the different style of church this morning, whether you ventured in and you are sitting in a pew here with an empty church, or whether you're just listening because you don't have the video ability. I don't know what's going through your mind. But the one thing that I can tell you is this is something that maybe seems too light, but you're not alone. That in other words, whatever you are feeling, other people are feeling also. The insecurities, the nervousness, the wondering. Then I really started to think about how it is for someone that is extremely OCD. That every day they live with this kind of torture or this fear of what they're touching. What would it do? If you're really a germ-phobe, like, and I don't know if that's a proper term, you have to forgive me for that, but you know. To live like this every day. Because even when we act bold and brash, when we feel that we have this ability just to walk into a door, we don't care what anyone's saying, if it's the CDC or whoever, we'll grab that door handle. Then when no one's looking, we use our sanitizer, right? Because I have it in my pocket. So if anyone's nervous for me, I can use this. But the fact of it is these people live with these kind of conditions each and every day where they're always suspicious, where they're always wondering. And so when we come down to it, it's like this is a struggle. Living upon this earth in its own difficulties is a struggle. But really the point is that Paul is trying to bring to the church in Corinth that whatever struggle you may be going through, whatever difficulty you may be going through, you're not alone. That these struggles are continuous for other people too. See, that's one thing the adversary loves to do to us often in our lives. He turns around and he tells us, you're the only one with this struggle. And you're not. Then we could turn it into the Christian church where we turn around and we start wondering, well, am I the only one with this sin upon my conscience? Or am I the only one that has this struggle in this area? Not just dealing with earthly things, but in our personal spiritual lives. The adversary will love to tell you, yes, you are, but you're not. When we talk about persecution, when we talk about struggle, even in the scripture, it's not just on those outward things. Oftentimes, it's an inward battle. And Paul wants to encourage us, don't be afraid. And in all honesty, don't be afraid to admit that you have fears, that you have doubts, that you have struggles, but rather encourage one another and to look to that finished work of Jesus Christ to give you the confidence to move on from this point. Because in all honesty, the world can't give you that comfort. Because look right now what we're going through. I'm not saying it's not necessary, but it is scary. To turn around and realize that right now people's lives are turned upside down from something that they cannot see. That to me is one of the most amazing things. None of us have seen, at least, you know, unless we look at that one little picture they give us on Google with the red-looking ball thing. But it's not like we're walking through and we can see it. But because of the knowledge that we have, what's been shared with us, we understand it can be there. And it's controlling, it's ruling. But Paul wants us to understand there is something that is bigger. There is something that is overcoming all of these struggles in our lives. Doesn't mean they're not real. He says, blessed be the God of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Father of what? Of mercies. This is our God. So many times in our life, we've had this tendency to be, whether because of circumstances in our life or not, we've had a tendency to think of our God as a harsh God, of a God that will take and bring judgment only upon us. But actually, Paul is bringing it to us. He says, highly favored is our God. Because through the finished work of Jesus Christ, he has poured his mercy out to each and every one of us. That no matter what may be going on in your life, there is always the understanding of that mercy. He says, and this is the God of comfort. And that's why, in all honesty, we call people during the week. Because we want people to understand and know there is a God that will bring you comfort. There is a God that loves you and continues to pour out mercy. No matter what may be going on in the chaos of this world, there is a God that watches you, that takes care of you. So he says very plainly to have this comfort. And he says, and he comforts us. When? In some of our affliction? Maybe just in the religious affliction? He says he comforts us in all affliction. Whatever may be bringing you disturbance today, whatever may be robbing your peace, God gives you this comfort. It's an amazing thing when we think about the weeks that have gone by, when we turn around and we start realizing that what is truly important? Even our own Congress and Senate, or, you know, the Congress, the House and the Senate, and our president, they're starting to realize what truly is important. And I'm not saying that I'm happy this happened, but what I'm saying is we can learn, we can grow going through all of these circumstances, that you can actually come back to saying, this is what's truly important. Family. Having a job. Having the ability to put bread on your table. Having all of this stuff is extremely important, there's no doubt about it. But will we take advantage of even these times that we're living in? Let's just say we were on lockbox for the next 2 weeks. Will we still spend time with our family then? Will we actually take the time to do it? My wife read me a poem this morning, and you all can look it up if you want on Facebook, but it's a Dr. Seuss kind of poem saying, you know, what Dr. Seuss would write about this time. And it talks all about family time, talks about spending time together, to be understanding what a blessing it is to have what we do have. But he says, God comforts us in all of our affliction. Don't look it up right now, though. I can see you guys on your phones. I can picture it in my head. Don't do it. Wait till after we're done. But anyways, he says, he comforts us in all of our affliction. Why? Why does God comfort us? First, we can say, obviously, because he loves us. But then what does he say next? That we would have the ability to comfort others. We have a purpose. Each and every one of us has a purpose. To enter out into this world, bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ, to bring comfort and peace to people that are in the middle of turmoil. And I don't know if you've noticed or not, but there's people in turmoil right now. We oftentimes can think that money solves all of our issues, that'll be the greatest thing. And I'm telling you, I'm not rejecting money. It sure helps to have fun. But you can have all the money in the world and not have peace. I just done a funeral recently for an individual that passed away in sad circumstances. And then I started doing some study on the subject, and then I went to a lot of messages out there. All you have to do is look it up. On Robin Williams. Robin Williams had everything he could ever ask for. Robin Williams had an oceanfront home. He had people that loved him in all generations, really, because his humor hit so many different levels. He had a 600-acre home where he lived that was worth that $30 million. But it wasn't enough, because it didn't bring peace. We have this ability, by the comfort that God gives us, to enter into a world that is so disturbed and to comfort those that are in any affliction. We are equipped. He says, we don't bring them our own comfort. He says, we comfort with which we ourselves have been comforted with, the comfort of God. That we would take what God has given to us and that we would enter into this world and give to them to bring the peace. I think if there was ever a time to do that, it would be now. And that's why I say we live in marvelous times. Yes, we can be ruined by social media. There's no doubt about it. It can rob our days. But we allow that. We can also turn around and encourage people. I wasn't kidding. I admitted this before to one of my pastor friends, Ed Holkinen, that I have a very difficult time praying on the phone. And I even shared that with some of you here. Because I'm the type of person, I need to see somebody. But my wife one night, after I was praying for one of our members on the phone, she was in the hospital in Marquette, and I told my wife, I said, I have difficulty with that. She said, well, do you pray with your eyes closed? I'm like, no. She said, well, close your eyes, and you won't know they're not there. And so now I do. A simple thing like that. My wife encouraged me that this is not about you, Jesse. But I remember because when I was praying for this member, I was focused on something in my shop yard, and I was looking at it, and I was having a hard time concentrating. And so the next time, I closed my eyes. And I pictured my friend. We have this ability to bring comfort to people. We don't have to see them face to face. Is it a blessing too? Absolutely. Maybe we'll cherish that time all the more. He says, but we bring the comfort of God. He says, and we understand that, you know, even as now he's talking as followers in Jesus Christ, that they suffer in Jesus' suffering. In other words, now they will be persecuted too. And we are living in times of persecution, there's no doubt about it. But he doesn't leave it there. He says, we'll go through this process. Well, we will have these times of affliction. We'll have these times of suffering. He says, but we will also share, and I love how he says this, abundantly in his comfort. Whatever you are going through, whatever may be taking place in your life, it says very plainly that Jesus Christ will abundantly give you comfort in and through that situation. But do we lean upon him? And that's the question that I have for all of us and for myself. Do we lean upon him in these times of difficulty to find a comfort, to find a solace? So I went and I got those flowers, as I said. And yeah, I suppose I was considered a good guy from Cheryl, but that was a small part of it. Because we were able to encourage a shop owner that God is good. People still like flowers. And my main point I asked her is, please, please don't let this win. Brothers and sisters in Christ, don't let this win. Don't let it rob your joy. Don't let it rob your peace. Is it uncomfortable? Sure. Is it going to cause some inconveniences? Absolutely. But is that your hope? Is that your peace? No. Your comfort and your peace comes through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And he promises that when we go through these difficulties, he will abundantly comfort us also. And he says, and you know what? Paul says very plainly, if I'm struggling, it's for your benefit. And it's kind of an interesting thing because I've had people even reach out to me very compassionately saying, you know, you got to be careful. As a pastor, you got to be careful. You can't shake hands. You can't do this. You can't do that. And I understand it. But right now, it's not about me. It's about encouraging the body of Christ. And that's why, you know, I say things like, you know, I'm not trying to be defiant. We're not going to lock the door. I encourage everybody, if they can, to stay where they are and to watch over the internet. We have these means and these abilities. But if there's one person that would walk through these doors that needs to hear the gospel of Christ or be prayed for, whatever, we need to do it. We can be safe, but we need to do it. And so he says, if we're going through any affliction, he says, that's basically for your benefit. He says, but it is for your comfort and your salvation that we are doing it for. In other words, Paul is saying, this is how serious it is. Individuals need to know, individuals need to hear that in spite of everything going on around them, that God is still present, God still loves them, and he still is pouring his mercy and his grace out even to this world today. I thought it was very interesting. I watched one of the conferences, and Mr. Trump was with his cabinet. And the first thing he asked, I would like to have Ben Carson do a prayer for us. And Ben absolutely stood up and he had a prayer, and it was a powerful prayer. And one of the main things that he prayed for is that we would still see the divine love of God and that we would be united. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are united. We are united in faith, We are united through grace, and we are united in mercy because God has poured it out to us. I know that you know one person that could use a phone call today. I really encourage you to call them. I don't need to call everybody, and I'm not saying I couldn't, but there was people on the list that I looked at in our book, and I knew Cheryl would have a better impact with them. It's not about me. It's about encouraging as a body of Christ. So you know one person. Call them just to see how they're doing. And if there's needs that are needed, I ask that you would let Cheryl and I know. And if we have the ability, I have to put that statement out there, then we will try to meet to those needs. We definitely want to be sure that everybody has their provisions that they need. If they need medications picked up and they can't get out, if I have to, I can run as long as they'll let me pick them up and bring them somewhere. But that's what he speaks very strongly for. He says, we are here so that you will know the comfort, that you will know the salvation. He says, that we are comforted by. He says, and our comfort actually comes from your comfort. He says, and we know in reality that we will endure because we are all in the same circumstance. But then he leaves off in this one area that I think is so powerful. He says, our hope is unshaken for you. I am encouraged. I know by the grace of God that we'll be okay. He says, our hope is unshaken for you. He says, for we know that as you share also in this suffering, he says, you also share in comfort. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, we are here in reality by the grace of God. We are given comfort by his atoning grace in Jesus Christ. There is nothing that can rob that from us. But oftentimes when we take our eyes, if we could say it, off the price, and we start to lose sight of what is truly important in life, our foundation can be shaken. That's where we all come in. To make that phone call, to send an email. Maybe if we have the ability, if someone has the ability to do FaceTime, I don't know if that's robbing someone's name, but Droid has it and everything. To just encourage someone. To praise God and encourage others. That's mainly what we need to understand with all of this. He says, we are unshakable. He says, we know that in these sufferings, we also share in that same mutual comfort. And that's really what Ben Carson was praying for. That we would be united as a nation. That we would be united in also the suffering together. But that we would be united in comforting in the mercy of God. May we remember that this coming week. And if we have the opportunity to be here next week, well, then let's continue to encourage each and every one throughout the upcoming weeks. And just remember even those that are, one of our elders is calling me again. But let's remember to pray for them. Because it's a confusing time. That they would have peace, that they would have comfort, and that we could actually have something. Remember what it's called? Joy. We are still the children of God. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just praise and we thank you that Paul had the insight and the wisdom. Yes, he was probably talking a lot deeper and more theological. There's no doubt about it, Lord. But your word is encompassing. It's alive. It lives even in the times and the moments that we live in today. That he encourages us. That you are the Father of mercies. That you comfort us through our afflictions so that we would have the ability to comfort one another. We ask that you would guide and lead us in the upcoming week. Even as a congregation, Father, more personally, we pray that you would just guide each and every member, that we could see the blessing of being in the body of Christ, and that we could share and encourage with one another. Father, we pray that you would allow that we would take time to call family members, call friends, and maybe, Father, those that don't have many around them, just to encourage them. Father, May we even be able to take a moment to support a local business in some way. Even if we don't want to eat the food because we're nervous, maybe we can just give them $20. But Lord, most of all, that we would pray, that we would love, and that we would encourage. Be with the youth also, Father, because this is going to be a confusing time for them also. I remember being a young man, hearing of catastrophic things and thinking the world was going to come to an end. Give them peace, give them comfort, and give parents insight and wisdom to take them seriously and listen. But most of all, Father, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to grow. Thank you for the opportunity to learn. And may we find peace in and through you. Now, the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Next week, I'll try to be a little more organized with my schedule here. Sorry, Cheryl and Judy. But our closing hymn is 419. In the blue hymnals, if anyone has one online,